All of you were asleep. I was the only one, you know, I don't know, steering a boat. I don't know how boats work. He's over there on the boat, and I'm the only one who saw it. You guys missed it. It was totally awesome. But actually, all of them were awake shortly before dawn. Why are all these disciples awake? Well, if you go back one more sentence, it says that they were buffeted by waves. So when a boat is buffeted by waves, they have to call everybody up. Hey, wake up, man. We're being buffeted by waves. I think that being buffeted by waves doesn't mean that they're being gently patted by waves. Like the waves aren't just like, you know, gently caressing the sides of the boat. It's rocking it over. And this is like some kind of medieval boat thousands of years ago. I guess that Vikings made. I don't know who made it, but it's not very high tech. It doesn't have like a thing underneath it. It's about to go over, and so they have this. I think that this is from sailors. They say all hands on deck. We always say that at work, like that just means we need everyone at this meeting, all hands on deck. I've never been a sailor. I don't go on boats. Like houseboats is like the longest I've ever been on a boat. Up until then, it's been like I saw the Statue of Liberty, so that was like a half hour on a boat. And my father-in-law has a little boat, but he put me in the inner tube and like threw me off. So that wasn't very positive either. So I don't know much about being on boats, but I can imagine that when this captain says, hey, we're being buffeted by waves, get up, everyone get up, I need all hands on deck. Then everyone's outside, they're tying ropes or cranking things. I don't know how, you know, I imagine they're doing things like this with like tying a cool knot. You know, it's a boat. I don't know how boats work. But, so they're being buffeted by waves. This is why they're all awake. Now, in times of crisis like that, in a storm, you say all hands on deck because you really need everyone's help, okay? This isn't a time when you have a storm situation. This is not a time for you to say, oh, things are getting hard. Bye. I'm not on your boat anymore. This isn't happening for me. That's not reality. If you jump out that boat in the middle of a storm, sorry, we lost Jesse. He jumped off the boat in the storm and we got to write a letter to his wife now. That's unsafe is what I'm saying. So you would stay on this boat and you would, with a group of guys, fight for survival on this ship because it's going to tip over. So you have everyone doing their job, trying to like make it stay upright and, you know, take the water out of it. So you have an all hands on deck situation. You need everyone there. In storms, you need all hands on deck. Now that means that in your life, when you have a situation that's like a storm, things are going bad, okay? You need everyone there together, pulling together. In my family, okay, we don't always do that very well. I think that, both my dad's side and my mom's side, like, I don't know my cousins very well because they all don't talk, okay? Except when you have someone, when someone dies, then everyone comes to the funeral, and I'm like, wow, we should, like, get together more than once ever in our lives. Like, that would be great if I could see you more than once in 20 years. That'd be really spectacular. But instead, that's a fallacy of ours. We make that mistake of waiting too long to see each other. It would have been great to see you when you were having financial problems or when grandpa was sick before he died or when we needed a move or we needed a babysitter. All these different times when I had a storm, I could have really used my own family there. All hands on deck situation. When things get rough, you got to come together. All hands on deck. That's, I guess that's like a sailor saying, but I use it quite a bit. I had a boss that used to say that we need all hands on deck. And so I'm like, yeah, that's the thing we all say. And there's this group of singers. They're these brothers, they're called the Avett brothers, and they have this line from one of their songs. When you run, make sure you run to something and not away from. When there are troubles, don't run away from your troubles. Unless it's like fire. I mean, maybe run away from fire. But other than that, I guess fire's the exception. When you run, make sure that you're running to something, not away. If there's crisis or a storm, pull together. Come together. If there is a crisis with our students, I wouldn't say, oh, it got hard. bye, kids, figure this out on your own. I'd run to them. I want to help them. If Johnny was having trouble in that water, I would have tried to run on the water because that's all I know how to do. I'm not very good at swimming, but I would have gone to him somehow. If there was ever an incident with our teenagers or in Crash Zone, I have to go meet it. I have to go find that problem and intervene and support the family or whatever I can. When you run, make sure you run to something and not away from. Okay, I'll actually bring this up again in a couple weeks because this is a three-part series, but I'm not going to. Next week you have somebody else, but in the 22nd I'll follow up and you'll get more of this Avett Brothers quote later on. But it is very good wisdom. They're kind of folky guys. You don't got to look it up, but they're pretty good. I like them. This next passage, this next piece of the scripture I want to talk about is walking on the lake. Okay. It says there, in quotes, Jesus, he came on walking on the lake. Now, in some translations it says sea, some translations say lake. It's actually neither of those. It's just we don't have a word for it, this large body of water. That's all it is. That's why the translations are interchangeable. He's walking on a large body of water, and they use this specific word for lake here because it rhymes with death. Isn't that interesting? So the lake, the word they use there rhymes with death. Okay. Now, to a lot of people, like I said, in ancient times, people would associate large bodies of water with being mysterious and evil, or, you know, having some kind of monster to it, some kind of danger element. So when Jesus is walking on the water, he is literally walking on death. He is overcoming that. It's kind of he's overcoming gravity, I think, and physical matter, because I can't walk on water. It's not solid enough, or I'm too heavy. I don't know. But I can't do it. We used to try that as kids. You ever done this? Some of you maybe have tried this. Will you try to like sprint from the side of the pool onto the water and see how many steps you can get before you just like sink? I could always get like one step because technically I jumped. And then I just was like just moving my legs in water at that point. So when Jesus comes walking on water, he is overcoming like our physical existence here, but also he's overcoming death. He's literally stepping on death. Okay, what was a storm, he is greater than. Okay, what was gravity, he's greater than. What was death and mystery, he's greater than. I'm saying that because sometimes our problems might look bigger than God. It might look that way, but it's not. So Jesus is greater than all your storms. No offense. I once had a friend from my old youth group when I was in high school. And she got really upset. She went through a lot. And so she says, but you don't know, Jesse, but you don't know, but you don't know. And she kept saying that, like she couldn't get that out of her head, but you don't know. And I'm like, I don't have to know. Like, what on earth makes you think I have to know how big your problems are, the exact details? Because God knows, and he's actually way bigger than your problems. I'm like, but this is like, we are teenagers. As adults, we still get that way. We might not stumble into these, like saying it and admitting it, but we still believe it, that somehow our storms are bigger. I don't know how God's going to pull this out. Have you ever said that? No one ever says, I don't know if God can do this. You would look like an idiot if you said it. You might say something more trickier. I don't know how this can be turned around. It's like, shut up. Okay, you know that you're talking about God. We all know that you are thinking your situation is bigger than God, but you're not saying it because you don't want to admit it. But you know what? God is still bigger than all your storms. All your storms combined that you've ever had, God is bigger than them. And that is sometimes very hard to admit because you find yourself being a child again. That's okay. Compared to God, I will always be a kid. I don't know how God's going to fix this. But he can. I got to remember that. I got to believe that. I got to live that constantly. It never ends. Bob, does it ever end? Then it never ends. I'm like, I'm just going to turn the corner. I'm 30. I'm turning 36 pretty soon here, guys. And then it's all going to work out. Why are y'all laughing so hard at that? Come on, man. You guys are messed up. Okay. So, God, Jesus is greater than all your storms. Let's believe that. This next sentence, it says, they were terrified. When they saw Jesus walking on the water, they're like, physically impossible. This is scary. I don't know what's happening. It's before dawn. Okay. If someone's walking on water and it's nighttime, I would also be scared. They said, it's a ghost. It says they were terrified. Now, the word here for terrified, it's this word phobia. Like, they were scared. This is like a very common word for being scared. They were terrified. I have to tell you, though, being scared is not a problem. Sometimes you get scared. If you walk up behind me and it's late and I'm kind of thinking about something else, I'm in deep thought, and you go, boom, and I jump, ah! That's not bad. That's like, well, you got me. You tricked me. Okay, not a big deal. Okay, sometimes we get scared. Like, I was looking in the water and as I'm swimming, and I thought, what if something just came up and bit me? That would be terrifying. But when that happened, I didn't say, okay, this is a scary situation. Drown. Like, I didn't just give up. I kept swimming until I got to the other side. And it was very, very difficult. But sometimes you let fear run your life. Okay, sometimes you make decisions based on your fear. Important decisions. Sometimes people fear the what if. Maybe you've encountered the situation. Oh, but Jesse, but what if such and such happens? But what if that? But what if this? Well, do you have insurance? Then, you know, whatever, man, deal with it. I had a boss, this pastor friend of mine. He lived in Sunnyvale. I think he might still live there. I haven't talked to him in a bit. But he lived in the Fremont High School District. And when we met up years later, after I wasn't working for him anymore, we met up years later, and he said he's going to move. I'm going to move, Jesse. I said, why are you going to move? He says, because Fremont High School doesn't have the best reputation. And I want my son, he's going to go into high school next year. I want him to have a better opportunity. I said, dude, come on, man. Oh, my God. Like, how am I going to teach you this? You're the guy who taught me stuff. You can't be afraid of that because your son's going to stand out there and going to get good grades anyways, probably better than his peers, and he'll go to even better school. So why are you afraid that he won't get a good education? They have teachers. They have credentials. Like, you're afraid of a problem that doesn't exist. You're making a problem bigger than it is. You're trying to live by, but what if? So I felt like I was speaking out of turn, telling my old boss this. He's like over 20 years older than me. And anyway, we changed the subject politely and moved on. And then I hadn't seen him in a long time. And years later, you know, he tells me that he did stay. And then his son got into a really good school. I'm like, oh, that's weird. You listened to my advice. No one's ever done that before. I don't know what to do. But you can't live by this what if. You fear something, you still have to like sort it out and live your life with courage, with faith. But what if Jesus doesn't come back? What if there's no God? Like, I have to have faith. I can't just live by fear of what if. People might be scared to get a better job. You know, I know a lot of kids. I met a lot of kids in East Palo Alto who didn't want to go to college because what if I don't get a good job and I can't pay back the loans? What if? And I'm like, and so then, I mean, one of my old students is here, Carl. He's in the back. He's the giant in the back here. If you didn't notice, there's one humongous person here. Carl knows kids like this. We know kids, Carl, that are in their 20s, never ended up going to school because what if I don't get a good job? I'm like, you worked so hard in school. And then you just got afraid and didn't go on to do something. And now you still aren't doing much because of what if, because they let that run their lives and make their decisions. People fear the what if. So some people make their decisions based on fear. Hopefully this isn't you. Sometimes it will be you. They have a word for when you do that. Repent. Change. Change something. But sometimes People make decisions based on fear. And when that happens, it hurts people around you. Okay, it doesn't always honor God. Some people say, oh, that's just wisdom, Jesse. I'm just practicing wisdom. Go, well, it wasn't very wise for Jesus to go on the cross for me. That's probably the unwisest thing I've ever seen. Like, how did you get up on that cross? I wasn't very wise. But he was full of compassion, and he sacrificed for us. And I'm supposed to live like that guy on the cross. That seems extremely unwise to be crucified at 33. But that's our calling. That's our Savior. That's our God who we are supposed to follow. Now, it turns out that it wasn't a ghost on the water. When the disciples, they got scared. They were terrified. I'm glad no one jumped out and started like just exploding from fear. Before they could do anything dangerous, Jesus says to them with an exclamation point, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." I just want God to tell me this every time I get scared. Every time I'm struggling with my faith, and I don't think something might not work out. This is a gamble here. I just want to hear these words. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." You're on a boat in the middle of the sea, and there's a storm, and then you see a ghost. This is like, these disciples are like, this is probably the worst day of my life right now. Wait a minute. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." The word here for afraid, I looked it up. I don't know why I got into like looking up the word. When you get into that mode of like looking up the word and like where it's used in other places, it's kind of interesting because you kind of like unravel a sweater that way. So you pull on this thread, and I looked up this word afraid because I'm like, why is this word here twice? It's used earlier as well. And it's only used to say, don't be afraid. Throughout the New Testament, it's only used to say, don't be afraid. Can you imagine having a word for afraid and your own... The writers of the New Testament are like, why do these people keep being afraid? Well, we just got to bring up that word again. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And if, I mean, like 8 times, if I'm standing up here reading this word to you 8 times, don't be afraid. It's probably important. All right. So let me just show you from this one sentence, or sorry, 3 short sentences that Jesus says, I get these 3 points. Grab your courage. Go get it. It's a tool. Sometimes you get scared. You need to go get your courage. He says, take courage. Go get it. Wherever you keep it, go get it. It's a tool because you're going to get scared. Your faith is going to be shocked. Okay. Your boat is going to get rocked. Sometimes you might think you're seeing a ghost. Okay. The wind's going to come. The wave's going to buffet the boat. Go get your courage wherever you keep it. But you need to go get it sometimes. Go get it. Second thing is God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. He's always with you. When you think he's not here anymore, I don't think God is here anymore. Like, what does that say about God? He's just absentee God. He's always there. God is with you. And this third one, stop being afraid. I would have put stop always being afraid, but it would have made it not the same length as the other 2 lines right above it. Because it's said so often, don't be afraid. Stop always being afraid. Stop it. Be stubborn. Go forward. Do something even though you're scared. Okay, I used to have this joke. People say, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I say, I'm afraid of my shadow. That's it, though. I'm not afraid of anything else. That's kind of sound kind of tough, but also silly. Anyway, so one time when I was in high school, I went running. And as I used to run at night. Okay, I'm out running, and there was a car behind me that put my shadow on a fence. Like, the fence came on the sidewalk, and then it turned a little bit, and then turned back. So, like, there was, like, dirt, and then the sidewalk, and then the fence turned, and then it was just along the sidewalk. But that little piece that was perpendicular to the sidewalk, my shadow was casted on that. So as I'm running, and the car behind me was moving. So as I'm running, I see a shadow figure running toward me. And as I'm getting closer to it, it's staying the same size. Like it's not, you know, changing because the car behind me is also moving slowly at my running speed. And I'm running and it's late and I'm like, what is that? Is that a person? I'm running like, I want to start yelling. Hey, are you a person? What is that? Like, I'm thinking as I'm running, I'm getting closer to it. And when you're running, your heart's racing. But this was like another level because I'm like running terrified. And I'm like, this is like a shadow person who's going to just steal me right now. Like the ground's going to open up and I'm going to go into another dimension. And my mom will be like, what happened to my son? He went out running and then he just disappeared. All that was left was this like little pile of ash in the side of the road there. You know, I don't know what this was. And I'm running and I'm getting closer to it. And I'm just like, what is that? I wanted to yell at the shadow. What is that? Anyway, but guess what? I didn't stop running. I find myself running toward my greatest fear that I'd always joke about, and it turned out to be really scary if you're ever running toward your own shadow. That's really scary. So I run, and I keep running though. Like I end up figuring out, oh, it's just a fence, and I figured it out. But I didn't stop. I didn't give up running because it was scary all of a sudden. Sometimes things will scare you. And you have to be reminded to stop always being afraid. So we have to live by faith, not by fear. These aren't always opposing. They're not. But sometimes your fear will make your faith very practical. Well, I need to be very practical. I mean, I'm saying I can't just be like, I'm not going to pay rent anymore in faith. That doesn't make any sense. I have to pay my rent. Okay, there's things like that I got to do. But sometimes, I mean, I got to keep believing, but somebody's got to take a leap in faith. Maybe that's financial. Maybe I got to help a friend out and say, I'm going to help you out. Okay, financially. But that might mean I got to stretch and I got to believe that it's going to work out. Maybe I got to spend time with a friend, pray for somebody. Maybe I got to stick my neck out there and encourage somebody who might end up hurting me back. Maybe I got to stick together in a storm and I just want to bail on this group. But I got to stick together. I got to be there. So some of you know this, the news. Most of you probably already know that our pastor is resigning. I've been in this situation before. And every time a boss hires me and then leaves within that first year of my being hired, as a youth guy, do you know what happens? Bye, youth guy. I worked very hard every time. I did my best, improve the program, grow the program. And then they say, well, the new management's going to take it in a different direction. Thank you, though. Bye. And then I just disappear, I guess, out of their story. But then I'm like still the same guy. Like, dang, dude, now I need to eat something. So I have a wife and two kids. And people have been advising me. Okay. Like, I need advice. Like, I haven't been in this situation before. They say, Jesse, the first opportunity you get, you got to go, man, because you never know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't live by what if. This is a decision I made a long time ago. I don't live by what if. Either I'm like the least wise person ever, or I am trying to honor what God is calling me to do. So you guys might be like, thanks, Jesse. This is a really cute sermon. Bye. We're going in a different direction. It doesn't matter. I am in charge of my faith. I'm in charge of what I do, my decisions. I don't make decisions based on fear, unfortunately. Sorry, wife. You married a knucklehead. And so I just have to believe and do my part. And every time I do my part, God always honors me. I don't know why, because I'm undeserving of his grace, but yet he still does anyway. I got to live my life in faith. Fear might come, and I get scared. I don't think Stacy Tong's here. Oh, he's in L.A. right now. But Stacy Tong knows. I call him up when I'm like, Stacy, this happened. I freak out to him, and then I chill out. I calm down. That's okay, though. I think that's okay. He doesn't mind. He's a doctor. He's like, I saved someone's life today. I don't care. So I freak out to him, and then I calm down later on. And that's okay, though. But I don't make my decisions based on fear. It is difficult. It is very challenging. For the youth, we have a word for that. Do I have a youth who remembers that word? Joshua, what's the word? Bayani. That's Tagalog for warrior, hero, champion. We had, sorry. 20 kids go on this houseboat trip. I asked them, why'd you go on this trip? I want to have fun. I want to go on the banana boat. I want to go on, I like jumping off the boat. I like having fun. Why'd you go on the trip? No one asked me why I went. I kept wondering when someone's going to ask. I trick kids like that. Ask them and see who's going to ask me back. No one asked back. I went because I wanted to give 20 kids an opportunity to learn about being brave. It's hard. You can't teach that. You can't. You just hope. Tell them a few stories and say, okay, go make the world better. Make good choices. People are going to take advantage of you and hurt you because you're a kid. Just be brave about it. It's going to happen. Not even my kids. There's just 20 strangers. Some of them I met on the trip. And I find myself caring. That's stupid. I find myself praying for them. Church. Be brave. Take courage. If you don't know where you left it, ask your wife. She moved it. She's always moving my stuff. God is with you. He is always with you. He's never left. He won't leave. At no point is he going to not be there. You get in the car and you're like, something's different. God's not here. What the heck? He's always there. From the minute you're born till eternity. And stop always being afraid. Give that up. That's a bad habit. Give it up. You're never alone. Today we're going to take communion. And communion is about honoring God and His sacrifice, but we take communion together. We pick the word commune because we're coming together. Two things I always tell the youth, two things I'll tell you. Always look to God for your support and your help, and lean on the people next to you. Always do those two things, and you can do anything. I challenge this church. When we take communion, do it because you're here with people together honoring Christ. It's not something you do on your own. We do it together. All right, I'm going to pray. God, we ask that you would be with this congregation. Give us strength in our storms. Help us find our courage. Help us to be your people and honor you. Teach us, just give us grace when we mess up. Give us more grace. We love you and we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for your blood, and for your body being broken. May we live our days honoring that sacrifice and free from the oppression of sin and this world. Help us to know that you're there walking to us on the water. We ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming today, this morning. I know summers are super duper busy. I'm just going to pray over you real quick. God, be with this congregation as they leave this place today and bless them. And thank you, God, for their hearts that they are turning to you every day and finding you. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Go out. Have a blessed day. Amen. Amen.